Within a few yards of this scene, one of our hospital corpsmen worked in a small, shallow defile, treating Marine wounded. I went over and sat on the hot coral by him. The corpsman was on his knees, bending over a young Marine who had just died on a stretcher. A blood-soaked battle dressing was on the side of the dead man's neck. His fine, handsome, boyish face was ashen. What a pitiful waste, I thought. He can't be a day over 17 years old. I thank God his mother couldn't see him. The corpsman held the dead Marine's chin tenderly between the thumb and fingers of his left hand and made the sign of the cross with his right hand. Tears streamed down his dusty, tanned, grief-contorted face while he sobbed quietly. The wounded who had received morphine sat or lay around like zombies and patiently awaited the doc's attention. Shells roared overhead in both directions, an occasional one falling nearby, and machine guns rattled incessantly like chattering demons. We moved inland. The scrub may have slowed the company, but it concealed us from the heavy enemy shelling that was holding up other companies facing the open airfield. I could hear the deep rumble of the shelling and dreaded that we might move into it. That our battalion executive officer had been killed a few moments after hitting the beach, and that the Amtrak carrying most of our battalion's field telephone equipment and operators had been destroyed on the reef, made control difficult. The companies of 3-5 lost contact with each other and with 3-7 on our right flank. Historical accounts of battles often leave a reader with the impression that the individual participants had a panoramic view of events. Such is not the case, however. Even the historians have never been able to piece together completely what happened to 3-5 on D-Day at Peleliu. As I passed the different units and exchanged greetings with friends, I was astonished at their faces. When I tried to smile at a comment a buddy made, my face felt as tight as a drumhead. My facial muscles were so tensed from the strain that I actually felt it was impossible to smile. With a shock, I realized that the faces of my squad mates and everyone around me looked mask-like and unfamiliar. As we pushed eastward, we halted briefly along a north-south trail. Word was passed that we had to move forward faster to a trail where we would come up abreast of 3-7. We continued through the thick scrub and heavy sniper fire until we came out into a clearing overlooking the ocean. Company K had reached the eastern shore. We had reached our objective. To our front was a shallow bay with barbed wire entanglements, iron tetrahedrons, and other obstacles against landing craft. I was glad we hadn't tried to invade this coast.